Amen. Almost forgot. Shalom, shalom. Can't forget that. Yeah. I like speaking that over all of you. Well, that's 28 days into 2024. Are you still excited looking forward to what God has in store for 2024? It's the year of more as we trust in the Lord, see? More new. No more same old, same old. New. That's why we call it a new year. Now, you can look to Isaiah 43. I'm going to read it in the King James first, New King James, and then I'm going to read it to you in the Message Bible. I really liked it in the Message Bible. Okay. Okay, Mom, where you at? There you are. Thanks, Mom. Okay. Start reading in verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Now the message. This is what God says. The God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waters. The God who summons horses, chariots, and armies. They lie down and they can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. Wild animals will say, thank you, the coyotes and the buzzards, because I provided water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth. See, that's an impossibility when you think about it. Drinking water for the people I choose, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. Praise Him for the new. Praise Him anywhere. And what do we do? We're to praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him when the sun goes down. See? That's what it's about. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord as we did this morning. Every praise is to our God. And what are we supposed to sing? Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. Praise Him for the more in 2024. More finances, more healings, more miracles, more breakings, more breakthroughs, more outpourings, more people coming to Jesus, more things happening. A lot's happened in 28 days of your sin. Our praise is for these things, though, through faith and trust in Him and His Word. His Word says He can reverse the curse. He can reverse the curse, I'm telling you. You've been redeemed from the curse. You personally have been redeemed from the curse. Just think about it. Just think about it. See, you got to let it sink in. That's the problem. We just brush over it. We don't let it sink in. When we praise Him, we are actually calling those things that be not as though they were. When we don't see it, you praise Him anyway. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. In the highest grace, give Him praise. Why? Because He's worthy of all praise. 2 Peter, chapter 1, read verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, listen carefully, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption or the wickedness that is in the world through lust, through human desires. Exceedingly great and precious promises is referring to the numerous offers of divine provision that are found in His Word. These promises offer us the glory and virtue of Jesus Christ as the basis for our growing participation in the divine nature. He is da vine and we is da branches. Amen?
Amen?
We have Christ within us, as He promised, to enable us to become increasingly Christ-like. Because we have become new creations in Christ, we have already escaped the corruption that is in the world through perverted desires. We are a new creation. We don't have the same desires. When I got saved to the bone. I became a new creation. Then I had to learn all over again the things that I didn't learn properly. But God is patient. He's patient with us. Remember, He is divine. And we is
die branches.
Die branches. You got it. So in Psalm 34, verses 8 and 9. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to do that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There's no want to those who fear Him. Now, blessed here is Strong's 833. And is also translated as happy. If you are happy, then that means you ain't sad. A man who truly trusts in God is happy, happy, happy. Trust is Psalms 2 or Strong's 2620 here, and it means to seek refuge, flee for protection, confide in, hope in God, hope of a confident expectation of success. So now let me read that. Happy is the man who trusts in, seeks refuge in, flees to for protection, confides in, hopes in, hoping for the confident expectation of success. Whew, that's a lot there. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Fear, Strong's 3372, means reverence. Stand in awe of, honor, respect, praise, worship. Want is Strong's 2637, meaning lack, need, poverty, thing needed. Thing needed. Did you hear me, young lady? Okay. Oh, reverence, honor, respect, praise, worship the Lord, you his saints. There is no want, lack, or need to those who fear him. No want, no lack, no need comes to us who fear him. To fear the Lord means to show deep respect and honor to him. We demonstrate true reverence by our humble attitude and genuine worship. Worship is reverencing God, adoring, honoring, bowing down before him. But see, when you take a deeper look, it shows that it is a more of a thing of the heart and mind than a physical action or position. Jesus said this in Matthew 15:8. When you get this, Tim, and let's do it. This is the voice translation. Matthew 15:8. Jesus speaking, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are nowhere near me. He is saying worshipers worship him in vain when their heart is nowhere near him. You can go through the motions, but he's looking at the heart. Worship is of the heart. Perhaps we can say worship means having to bow down our head and our heart as we adore and revere our Maker. See, it is an attitude of totally and unconditionally surrendering to the one who we call our Master, our Lord, our God. See, mere words are not enough. Many call Jesus Lord, Lord, yet he will claim not to know them, for their actions are not those of one who really knows him or has totally submitted to God and his way. Worshiping thus becomes a relationship with God, characterized by a bowed down heart in total surrender. Worship is of the heart. You know, we're to trust the Lord. And we trust the Lord with all of our heart. And what? And we're not to lean on our own understanding. And that's Proverbs 3:5. You know, those are my base scriptures when I first got saved. I was told, you set yourself a couple of scriptures, you stay on them. And I've stayed on him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Jack. Lean not to your own simple understanding. But in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your path, Jack. Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you. I've stood on them scriptures when I first was taught that. That verse instructs us to put all our trust in the Lord and not on our own knowledge. The verse tells us not to be reliant on our strength and knowledge, but to trust the Lord. See, those are God's instructions. They're God's words. His words are instruction. What is the Bible? There you go. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Gave us a manual. Manual to live by. His word. I'm not perfect either. But I'm working on it. The word works. That's what I do know. The word works. And we are to work the word. We are to work the word. Because it will go forth and it will not return void. It will accomplish what you sent it out to do. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on. Hallelujah. God's word hasn't changed. Or will it ever change? Psalm 119, verse 89. The psalmist writes, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Yeah, forever. It's settled. It stands firm. It is established. This means it ain't going nowhere. That's why we're warned in Revelations not to add to or take away. You know, you tell it the way it is. Jesus said that's what we're to do. Preach and share the gospel just the way it is. Now in Luke 16, 17, here is what Jesus has to say. Luke 16, verse 17. This is Jesus. That's the quote. He says, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle, T-I-T-T-L-E, of the law to fail." Now, Jesus is talking about the word here. See, now the word tittle, Jesus uses, points to the smallest stroke in a Hebrew letter. Do you ever see them in Hebrew? Just a little mark. Well, those little lines or projections by which the Hebrew letters is often respects the similar, different from one another. See? There's a similarity and then there's a difference in them by the little mark on there. And not even the minutest part of the law or his word shall perish. The tittle is the Hebrew equivalent of a punctuation mark in the English. That means it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one comma of God's word to fail. Why? Because heaven and earth are the child, and the word is the parent. I'm just giving it to you the way I got it. But when you think about it, that's where the key comes in. The very first thing the devil wants to steal is the word, and he wants to steal it from all of mankind. He started back in the very beginning when he set out to plant doubt in Eve's mind. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That's where Eve got into trouble. She wasn't clear about exactly what God had said. She came up with her own version of it and fell for the devil's lie, and he deceived her into disobeying God. You know, and Adam was right there. He was right there the whole time. He wasn't off somewhere and she got deceived all by herself. He was right there. But he wasn't deceived. He knew what God had said. He knew what God had said. He could have used God's word against the devil and sent him packing and said, "Get on out of here." And he didn't. How do you know that? Because when he finished creating, God said, God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion." He said, "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This took place before Eve came into existence. God had told him exactly what he could do. He could eat anything he wanted there. On one tree. He said, "If you eat of it, you're going to die." See, she responded, she didn't have it. She didn't quote it right. But he didn't correct anything. See, he could have exercised the dominion that God, by his word, had given. And had given it to him. He'd given him his word right there. Have dominion over everything that moves in the earth. He could have said to that serpent, "Get on out of here. Get on out of this garden." And kicked him out. And that slippery serpent would have had to slither his way out of the garden. He had to obey him. You understand that? Because he was supposed to have dominion. When the devil shows up in any area of our lives, see, we are to deal with him the way Adam should have dealt with him and kicked him out. Mankind has been in a fight ever since. And thank you, Jesus, because he made the way back. But see, he didn't start there. Because you know how he started? He went to a man called Adam. But let's not go there first. I'm going to remind you. See, you can declare to get rid of him. See, because what the word says, what's James 4:17 say? "Therefore, submit to God, period. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He will flee from you. Resist him. Don't take the thoughts. Don't start speaking what he's putting in your head. Command him to get his hands off of you. Tell him to get his hands off of anything that belongs to you. See, and he will have no choice but to obey you. When you're speaking the word in faith. You believe what you're saying? Because there's authority in it. And you have the authority. There's authority. And it's been given to you. Delegated. Delegated. There. I got it right. Okay. And how do we know that, though? How do we know that we have that? Because of what Jesus said in Matthew 17:20. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. What's that last part say? Nothing will be impossible for you. Mustard seed. Mustard seed. You know how small that thing is? Mustard seed. If a mountain will move out of the way in response to God's word, spoken in faith by us, Satan must too. Did you get that? He has to submit to God's word on our lips as surely as the mountain does, because just like the mountain, he was created. Ezekiel 28:15 tells us this about Satan. Ezekiel 28:15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Satan came into being the same way all creation did, by the faith-filled word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we know that also it says in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds, that's the universe. There's a lot of worlds in this universe, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So let's remind him the next time that he comes around trying to tell us God's word won't work for us. You got to remind him. Remind him that he's talking down the force that brought him into existence. Remind him God fathered all creation with his word, and that creation still responds to the force that set it into motion, whether the devil likes it or not.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. I got to think about that. Okay? Nothing is more sovereign than God's word.
Amen.
We all know that God is sovereign. Amen? The fact that God is sovereign essentially means that he has the power, wisdom, and authority to do anything he chooses with his creation. So we need, and let me remind you to not forget, that God and his word are one. God and his word are one. That is why he didn't intervene before Adam sinned in Eden. His word was on the line. He had given Adam dominion on the earth, which meant Adam could do with it whatever he chose to. Adam chose Rome. Adam chose to give it to the devil, who took it and started ruling it. Adam actually committed high treason. The devil, however, still had to yield to God's word spoken by a man. So God spoke again to a man named Abram. He offered this man a deal that would open the way for him, or God, to operate on the earth again. God established his deal with the man when he gave him his word. He made a covenant He made a covenant with him. And he said, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse them who curses you. This is the part that's important. And in you, he's talking to Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. We is the all the families. It's all in the family. But all of us are meatheads. Come on. We don't realize that. But we are, yes. Yeah, amen. But he goes on, and that was Genesis 12:3. But in Genesis 22:17, he said, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you, multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Abraham believed what God said when God said it. That's what he believed. He believed God's word. And it prevailed in Abraham's life. His enemies never were able to put him in bondage. Now listen, I was not sure with this, and the Holy Ghost said, go ahead. Gates in Scripture are places of power, authority, defense, splendor, and safety. Whoever holds them or sits in them is in control of everything. Sadly, the unseen demonic world controls most of them today. And they do so chiefly to resist the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why Satan hates America and is working so hard on all fronts to destroy America. When they planted that cross down there at Fort Henry, we were to take the gospel through this country and to the world. Why do you think he hates this country? Satan hates this country. But I'm very proud to tell you that the report is that his ecclesia has been pushing back, pushing the enemy, recapturing that which was captured when we lost control of our borders in local government and all the way up through, including the federal level. Government. Yeah, we weren't defending our borders, but the church is awake now. And have you not seen? He's doing things. He is doing things. It's called restoring, restoration. Forget about the past. Look to the new. Look what God has promised to do in 2024. It is new. We're only 28 into it. There's going to be so much more happening. Oh, don't get afraid. Don't get into fear. You just keep watching and you know who is in control. God is in control. Exactly. And that's what's happening. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham because we are believers in Jesus Christ. We are Abraham's seed. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. The enormous power of God resides in us. We have the full armor of God. Do you choose to put it on? We have the Word of God. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of the Lamb. I can go on and list even more what you have. You have a mustard seed. What are you going to do with it? You're going to use it? You're just going to let it sit and stay that size? Start planting that faith in the things you're going to do. Start believing and push for more in 2024. This is our year of more. More firm, more finances, right? More healings. Come on, more healing, more miracles, more breakings, more breakthroughs. Hon, I like it. More people coming to Jesus. We're calling them in. We're calling them in. We're going out. We're looking for a billion souls to be saved during this revival that we are in. Revival didn't quit, folks. I don't know what you've been heard, but revival has not quit. And he is pouring out his spirit. And you know what? There are people, they can't even resist it. He's using people that you never thought he would use. But he's using them. And things are turning around. So we have so much power. Why are we letting the devil trample upon us? Tell the devil, get on out of here. Pastor, you're making it sound so simple. It is. It is. But you have to do it. You have to take authority every day. We wake up every day, and that devil should be saying when he goes, oh, Mike, he's up. Oh, what am I going to do now? Oh, Dean's up. What's he going to do? Oh, he's going to get into his devotion, and he's going to start sending out that word to everybody that has asked him. And he's faithfully been doing it. Satan doesn't want him to get up. When he wakes up, he's, oh, man, I got him to deal with again. That's what he should be saying about each and every one of us. Oh, pastor's up. Oh. So he starts beating your head with thoughts, too. The point you get up. That's why you got to take authority. Say, oh, no, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. You don't tell me you haven't got up some days and said, oh, man, I just want to stay in bed. I don't want to. No, you can face every day. Come on. You have the power. Realize you have the power. We have the blood. His blood was spilt for us. His blood made the way. There was no other way. And that body that was broken for you is what broke your healing. It brought healing. Wholeness to your physical body. I'm talking physical body. Emotionally. Brings healing emotionally. He dealt with every emotion on that cross. He suffered. He suffered for us. That's why I know when I got saved to the bone. That's when I heard who Jesus was that day. Changed my life forever. Never the same. And I can say that about everybody that I look and see today. Never the same. Never the same. You don't make it sometimes to the age you make it to without the word. Those that were up there in age, when they finally got saved and got changed, whew, still sitting there, clapping. I love to clap. I love that clap. Amen. So we're going to take communion today.